Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
All right, I'm going to talk about another 10, 15 minutes with Owen. I'm going to hand the baton over to him. I'll be listening while I take care of business around here, but I want him to be able to run with some of the stuff he sent. He sent compilations showing how crazy NASA is and how they're full of it and got caught destroying all the evidence of what they really did at the moon and more. How it ties into Artemis II. Also want him to get into what is 4D chess in his definition and more. Coming up with Owen Benjamin. Owen, big picture, what do you make of Trump? Because all I got was lawsuits in hell for supporting him. So I thought, well, he must be good because I'm being attacked by the system. It came out the CIA, Justice Department, ran all those fake lawsuits against me, all of it. And I knew he wasn't perfect, but overall, it was good. But now this new administration, soon as Elon Musk left, I could go on for hours, all the bad decisions, and now it's just totally insane. I mean, what did he think, saying, I'll destroy you all, I'll kill you all, open the effing strait, Allah Akbar, the whole civilization will die tonight, never to be born, brought back again, which is bad enough. Then he backs off, and then it's a total screw job deal, which makes us look like fools, but that's better than continuing deeper into the war. It just looks, we already talked about it, but a total trap here. What happens, do you think, with the midterms and just, because as much as we all get mad at Trump for his betrayals, the Democrats and the left worldwide is the leading edge of the wizards, I'd say, or am I wrong?
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, what I see happening with Trump is it's almost like when the system was coming at him, it was for nonsense reasons, and I'm with you. I was kind of like, I was backing him for those specific things, because I felt like they were gaslighting him. They were doing wizardry against him. They were trying to reframe his words into something he didn't say. And now that he's actually doing a bunch of monstrous stuff, it's almost like they don't have any more ammunition because they already did all that stuff. And so, yeah, I thought that was insane. As a comedian, I mean, he's kind of like a comedian in a way, and you can't talk that way as a president. It just doesn't work.
I think you just nailed it. We were defending the truth because almost all the time he was telling the truth and trying to do something good. They were lying about him. Oh, he hates all the Mexicans. Oh, he says the KKK are fine people. Speaking of wizards, he didn't say any of that. So we would defend him because they were lying. But it was almost like, not like he was involved, but a setup, the way they did it to get us to Pavlovianly defend him because it was wrong, so he could then do the double cross.
Yeah, and I think narcissism really builds as a defense mechanism because he was getting rocked. And just being in any lawsuit, you learn how stressful that is. And it's like, when you're getting attacked that much, sometimes people do create this delusion bubble where they don't let anyone around them that they think is a threat. And so everybody starts being a yes man, and then they plunge into insanity. And then you have all these, you know, these warmongers just whispering everything he wants to hear in his ears. And he probably had a lot of trauma from that stuff. I mean,
no, I totally agree, and I know the inside baseball, and I've watched. You crystallized perfectly. Trump didn't implode in. He didn't fail as an implosion. He exploded, and now he literally, some people talk, he does not give a damn. He thinks he's going to do it. He doesn't care. He told Tucker Carlson, Tucker's like, well, how do you know it's going to go well? He goes, it always does. You know, just like, he thinks he's in. Well, that's dangerous. But he's learning now. He's learning now. He's not.
Yeah, because you start, that's what creates delusion bubbles and narcissistic personality disorder. It's not just out of nowhere. It's because you just get so hammered. You're like, okay, I have to believe in myself no matter what. Like, the truth comes from me. Anyone who criticizes me is a threat. And then you start, that's what King Lear by Shakespeare is about. It's about not, you start not realizing who your real threats are and who your friends are, because you can't have anyone around you that you think could do these things to you. And that's why, you know, he was kind of brainwashed over the last 8 years, where, you know, people came at him so relentlessly that now we're seeing this like partial dementia come from it.
Well, it's like when you drop nuclear bombs on Godzilla, he goes crazy. And I'm not even trying to defend Trump. That is what it is. He's not a bad person, but at the end of the day, he went crazy. I mean, I would be 10 times crazier at 79 what he's been through. I mean, it's true. I mean, he's not Superman. And he has gone, I don't give an F, cuckoo. And we'll see back in 60 seconds. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
William Shakespeare wrote King Lear, and I haven't read it in decades. I saw a movie about it decades ago, too, but when you describe Trump, this is it. King Lear is a Shakespearean tragedy about an aging king who divides his kingdom between his two flattering daughters, Goneril and Regan, banishing his honest youngest daughter, Cordelia, for refusing to flatter him. The play follows Lear's descent into madness as his daughters betray him, and then the kingdom is just destroyed, basically. And that's what's happening with Trump. They just literally grovel like a cartoon in front of him. And then the people that won't, Tulsi Gabbard and people, he almost fired her last week. Now he figured, oh, no, now she's good. It's once the man, twice the child, to quote Shakespeare again. I think we're having early onset of dementia here. If he took some time off, got out of sleep deprivation, I think he could pull back. He is a bull. He has incredible stamina, but this is a disaster if he continues to degenerate. Any ideas about how to get through to Trump or get him out of this, or is it just too late?
Yeah, I mean, people do get out of it. And if you just look at King Lear and the flatterer, and that's why in the past, when I was trying to tell people the truth, and you face this as well, and they get really mad at you, and I'm like, this is how I show love. Like, you don't want me to just say what I think you want to hear, because that's actually how you ruin somebody. That's the tyrannical mother. That's the tyrannical feminine, you know? And when you talk about Saturn worship and Saturn...
The smothering mothers. Sorry, go back to Saturn.
Yeah. Saturn ate his children. So it's like
Saturnalia.
Yeah. So it's the eating of the children. It's the consuming of the future. That's the flatterer. And so I think, you know, Trump right now is surrounded by these worm tongues, and they're just telling him, oh, you're the greatest. What you've done, no one's ever done it before. You're crushing it. You're the greatest. And so anybody that actually cares about his future would say, hey, man, this is probably a bad idea. And he has a right to not listen to that person as an advisor, but you don't want just yes men, you know?
Oh, listen to this. I know top Trump advisors that told me, hey, what you're doing is great attacking him, but I'm going to have to attack you just because they've asked me, hey, I'm friends with you. That way I still get access. But then they buy TV ads just in Mar-a-Lago on Fox and in D.C. So you don't have to pay the national rate. It's like a 1/100th or whatever. Just to target political ads, because that's what he believes, whatever he sees on Fox. There's Saturn eating his son. So on screen. So a Renaissance painting. So that's literally what this is that now, because used to Trump liked to be argued with and stuff. Now the new one, he does not want to hear anything contrary. And that is so dangerous.
Now it's the king's disease. It really is like a mental disease where it's like everyone has to just grovel at all times. And that comes from trauma. It's like, you know, he just doesn't want to deal with that ever again. And then it gets to this point of narcissism.
And by the way, he does that. Let me tell you, Trump, I've talked to Trump quite a bit years ago. And he invited me up last year, but then I went against him. So that went away, but I didn't even go when they invited me. It was literally, he just pats you on the head like you're a dog. But I learned real quick, he loves phone calls. He sees it's like a free currency of flattery. You get the call, we talk to the president, yes. 5 minutes of you're the best, you're wonderful, you're so incredible. He'd call my wife up and tell her that. And that was like my payment was this ego thing. Well, I'm not into that. I'd be like, sir, this person's bad. They're doing this, sir. Can I send you this? And he would listen sometimes, and I'd send him reports. Then they got really upset about it, was in the news. But he got to this point where, you know, he told someone that's close to him a couple of years ago, he says, I don't want to effing hear from him again because he keeps bringing up, you know, the COVID shots. And it was with everybody else. He would just scream at people if they brought up the COVID shot to him. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and they end up, because it's only people that are using him are going to flatter him. And that's why every relationship is not as toxic, because they'll say they want to be in Mar-a-Lago. They want to be close to power. They want something from him. And that's why the people like in King Lear, the daughter that just loved her father and didn't want anything from him, wouldn't do that. And so the king that has this disease, this illness at this point, gets very uncomfortable around people that aren't using them. And that's when it gets so odd. And that's when people starve to death.
Exactly. And Shakespeare couldn't write this stuff legally or you'd get hung, but he was compositing real stuff going on. I mean, take the Sun King's court in France or whatever. It was just total courtiers groveling, backstabbing. And once this develops, this megalomania, if it's not transactional and if you're not doing this and if you're not getting something back, then he thinks there's something wrong with you.
Oh, totally. And then you're not allowed in the court. And that's when you have a sick king. Louis XVI, 15% of Paris and France had their heads chopped off. You know, it's like it ends really bad, you know, and that's why the truth will set you free. And it's like, even if it hurts, you know, and that's why I say I might be wrong, but I'm not lying, because I might be wrong, but I'm going to tell you what I think is true at that moment, or else I'm poisoning you. And so,
and that's the essence of a vibrant, yeah, healthy society.
Exactly. And it's just, and that's when you get high trust. That's when you get a high yield. That's when you get,
I always tell my crew, the one thing you'll get fired for, the best crew ever, super hard worker put up with me, is don't keep bad news from me. Don't glaze me. Like, I want to be told when I say something wrong. I want to be told when I'm out of control. I want them to give me their opinion. And they might be totally right. They usually are. But I want that. I don't want a bunch of yes men. You know, Julius Caesar, when he became the emperor and everything, this is in their books. It happened. He had his aide walk around behind him every hour or two saying, you're not a god. You're just a man. Remember, don't let the power go to your head. When he would ride in for the big triumphant deals after a military victory, everybody's worshiping him. He had a person right behind him saying, you're not a god. You're not a god. Remember, this is bad. You're in grave danger. The more power you get, the more danger you're in. Because he told him what to say, but he literally needed to be constantly reminded of it. Because he said he didn't want that sickness.
Yeah, and one thing that happens to these guys is they're so used to the court. They're so used to the wizard court where everyone's like praising and slathering and they want power that they forget about other social structures. So like, Caligula was killed by one of his Praetorian guards because like Caligula would just be mocking everyone and lying and doing all his things and banging
everyone's his life. Horse and making it out of the Senate. And
yeah, anything you want, just humiliation rituals, wizardry, all that stuff. And one of his guards was like, stop making fun of me. Like he was just like, his culture is honor culture, and honor culture. That's why the stand-up comedian is a very interesting position right now, because we were the daywalkers. It's like, yeah, I've been in movies and TV shows, but my bread and butter is on a stage with like a crowd, and I can't lose the honor, you know, or else I get eaten alive. It's more gladiatorial than court. And so someone like me doesn't, like if I'm getting slathered or if I'm like trying to kiss someone's ass, I feel like awkward and like uncomfortable.
And plus, the crowd wouldn't want to hear you for an hour say, you're beautiful, you're amazing. No, they want the gladiator event. They want to praise you when it's funny and say you suck when it's not. And it's that.
Exactly.
That's street smarts. That's on the ground. Rubber meets the road. That's why, listen, yeah, I never wanted to go to prom. Cleveland. I never wanted to be the, you know, king of the prom. I never, because it was just stupid. It seemed just instinctive. I didn't like it. I was out with college girls when they were going to the high school prom. I mean, I was already gone out of it by junior high. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was arrested. And I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to go to Mar-a-Lago and stand around in tuxedos and act like we've arrived. And they've had me so many times to Mar-a-Lago, White House, you name it. And they stopped doing it. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Well, it's because I know what happens. Well, what's going to happen? He's going to say thank you at dinner with 100 people, and I'm going to bathe in it. And then some chick will try to have sex with me. Whoop-de-frickin-do. Now, I said, you want to have a meeting about policy or something, give me 30 minutes, I'm coming. Well, they'll be, you know, again, I don't want to play games, okay? You know, it's real simple, and it's not like I'm super cool. I just can't even connect to it.
Well, it's also just how long is your timeline? It's so short-lived. I mean, you brought up the Sun King. It's like his grandson had his head chopped off with his wife. Head chopped off. It's like it doesn't last because the flatterer doesn't. There's actually a hatred of it. Where that's why I started making fun of veterans, because they seem to be. Because I got racial because of Cleveland. I mean, all black audiences will look at you like if you don't say it, we're gonna turn on you. Like you come at us, you know. And so in America, people will glaze all veterans.
But go back and say what black audiences want to hear. Flesh that out.
Oh, yeah, if I didn't go racial, if I hesitated with a pejorative or any of that, I was dead. And so, you know, a lot of inner city black culture is honor culture. So
well,
it's
like black people love Nick Fuentes openly talking crap to him.
Well, I think a lot of them think he's a homo, but yeah. they do like that because they're also very homophobic blacks. They'll be like, man, what's up with this kid?
No, I know you don't like Nick, but just whatever.
It's not that I don't like Nick. It's just like he... Like, on your show, he called me a gay Jewish man, and then I responded, and then he was like, I'm like, dude, I'm responding.
Well, I don't remember that, but okay, yeah. But going back to the black audiences, flesh that out.
Yeah. So if you show hesitation, like, if you show that you're afraid or you're not in the flow state, they'll eat you alive. And it's like that with honor culture. And so that's like the military. That's why a lot of times these tyrannical kings that get sick in the head, usually a coup is what takes them out, because the military isn't like the military's bread and butter is battlefield honor, physical strength. And so they don't care if like Benny Johnson follows you on Twitter. Like they think that's all ridiculous. Like same with stand-up comedians. Like, I think, like, a lot of these actor types are absurd buffoons, you know, because they're like, you know, like, obsessing about their skin tone and their abs and their tight jeans and stuff. And I'm like, you haven't even thought about entertaining anybody. Like, you're not a god. And that's why.
Well, so they don't even know that women just don't want abs. They want a funny, smart, powerful, independent guy.
Yeah, but most of them are homos. I mean, that's why there's so many homos now. It's like, because narcissism leads to being a homo, because you're like, okay, if I'm my own god, I'm a dude. So that is like an inverse loop where you start like being attracted to yourself. And before you know it, you're just driving around in a Miata. And that's the end of the story. You know, then you got Magical Johnson and Greg Louganis.
Well, when I was a pretty boy, and I certainly wasn't effeminate, and I had no problem with women, but now that I look like a, you know, cross between a Mr. Clean and Stone Cold Steve Austin, I mean, I'm not trying to brag. I literally, plus you're like 8 feet tall. I know you probably don't have the problem either, but I have to like beat the women away with a stick. So I don't think women are looking for pretty boys.
No, you kind of touched on it with Mar-a-Lago. They kind of like when you've been allowed behind the curtain, where it's like you've been anointed. And that's why people slather up to these stars, these like moguls, you know. That's because I see it over and over again, especially when I was getting quote unquote canceled, where I was making fun of I said that Caitlyn Jenner Woman of the Year hasn't been a woman for a full year joke 6 years before Chappelle, and people pretended it wasn't funny because Netflix and all this money was getting pumped in from, you know, the Edward Bernays family. And I just remember being like, why are you guys all lying? And then, so what happens is people get anointed where you're one of the in crowd. You get to go to the, you know, you get the money from the AIPAC. You get, you're repped at CAA. And then, you know, women look at you like, oh, you've been approved by Mount Olympus. And I never wanted that. I'm like, I can.
But what I'm saying is I'm finding more and more women are rejecting that.
Rejecting what Mount Olympus? Oh yeah, I mean,
like, that's like, you know, just like, well, it's like cockatoos. It's whoever sits highest in the tree is the boss. Women are getting they're really tired of it. Like, I think everybody used to be into everybody used to be more into Hollywood. I mean, I was never worshipped it, but I thought it was kind of cool 30 years ago, and then didn't like it 20. Now I hate it. But I think the general public is kind of more and more sick of it all.
Oh, yeah. Well, the sacred cows are just getting slaughtered and slaughtered because women deep down want stability. And these things don't appear stable anymore. Like, being anointed by the king doesn't mean anything like it once did. So it's not that women aren't
as... Well, that's the last straw of why I don't go to Mar-a-Lago or the White House, is I'm not afraid to be attacked by the establishment, but I go around, they come after, whatever, they don't want me to be anointed, which I don't want to be either, but that somehow with the people that are anointed, they don't want that. They still think that's the... Like, I see CNN, I saw all these clips on CNN going, Tucker Carlson's not very big, Alex Jones isn't very big, and I can go look at the numbers, we're way bigger than them, I don't even care about that, but they're literally on all these TV shows with Democrat and Republican strategists. I saw like five clips this morning without even looking, saying, oh, they're not important. You know, the fact that they went after Trump, and this is CNN defending him, and the fact that Trump, you know, is backing off, he shouldn't listen to them because they have no power. And then CNN has like 70,000 viewers on average. It's a joke. So they're talking about how big they are.
That's wizardry. That's wizardry. It's gaslight. It's gaslight, diagnose, ignore. I talk about this in the book. It's like, so they just lie. And then when you respond like you just did, where you're like, look at the numbers. And I like Tucker Carlson now, too. I think he's crushing. I mean, he brought up Spellcraft recently. And so...
Oh, well, he's definitely listening to you. That's what I'm saying. Tucker... Because I watch his numbers and I know what I talk to his people, what they are about the other stuff. He's crushing subscriptions, crushing on every platform. He's at least 10 times bigger than he was on Fox.
So they're just trying to get you to believe them. That it's perception management. This is wizardry.
They have all these articles that I don't have an audience and I'm off the air. When InfoWars shuts down, we're going to be gone. We're going to be bigger. They want me to believe their spell.
That's it, man. They need you to believe the spell. Because in the past, I've believed the spells before where I'm like, am I full of hate? Like, I can be so open-minded sometimes that a wizard will say something to me and I'll think about it. Like, and then if I start changing that way, or if I'm like, because for me, my issue was like, I would feel threatened when I wasn't really threatened. And then I could almost come across as more antagonistic, more volatile.
Yeah, because you used to be more reactive in explaining yourself. Yeah. I think your shows are better when I've seen them now because you don't do that. Me too. I almost told Harrison this today, but I was busy and didn't do it. I saw them post on my ex account him explaining that I'm not an Israeli operative to people. If people want to believe that, believe it. I don't have to justify myself to people that just know how to call me a Jewish agent. That's ridiculous. But they're another form of idiocy and wizardry. You see that, I'm sure, with the Jew stuff now, where if you slip on a banana peel, it's the Jews. It's its own form of idiocy, its own cult.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you like defending it actually puts it in people's heads. And I used to do that all the time. I'd be like... I haven't lost my mind. My wife still loves me. She hasn't kicked me out of the house. Like, I'm still funny. Dude, the thing...
Yeah, no, I remember
back,
that they
so
say
funny.
His wife has left him because I don't really stalk you, but I remember that. And you come and explain, here she is, we in the kitchen, we're fine. I try to tell my crew that. Just do not respond or it makes
totally.
It worse.
Yeah, and so they want you to believe the spell is the whole thing. And that shows the whole nature of the wizard is like... It's like they don't have the power of the free man. They need you to do it all the time with fear, with all that. And so when I started feeling less threatened, I got more chill and I could be more myself. Because I was always like a pretty laid back dude. There was about a few years where I didn't even know the world this happened. Like, I didn't know that you could be targeted by the global media or anything. And so, yeah, that's where I learned a lot of this stuff from mistakes. It's not just I'm just some all-knowing guy. It's like these things would happen to me. I would then go, oh, that's how that works. Look at how they got me. And I just kept falling for traps. And now once I know how it works, the traps don't work like they used to.
Me too. I've been on air 32 years on the 15th. And people ask how I know what I know. It's trial and error. It's research. It's interviewing everybody. It's just my head's in the game. And now I know nothing. As Socrates said, you know, the teacher knows they're really a student. I look at these newbies that have woken up, and that's what I worry about them, is they have such limited knowledge. So they know the system's lying, but then they'll just spin off into all these other little
eddies.
You know, and you're like, you really feel sorry. I don't know, but it's a process.
Dude, I'm like the anti-Semitism version of a hipster, where I now think it's like kind of gay to hate the Jews. They're like a newbie will be like, oh, it's the Jews. I'm like, nah, not really. It's a behavior, and you have to take the loan, and you have to agree. Like, I'm trying to explain it, and they're like, oh, so you're an Israeli shill now? I'm like, bro, do you even know who you're talking to? And then I just realized that I'm almost like that dude who's still like listening to records or something. You know, I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about. Cause they're still externalizing authority. They're still saying it's the doing this to me. And I'm like, well, you want something from them. Like Trump wants flattery right now, or else he wouldn't be listening to it. You know,
well, it's a computer program you've decided to stick in you.
And
what I don't understand is when you make it all about the Jews, the ones on top have set it up where they get persecuted and then they get more power because the low-level Jews don't know it. And it's the same in every group. It's like the black leaders literally trying to get blacks persecuted or hyping it up so they can play victim, so they can feed off them. They're farming your victimhood, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's all identity games. Like, evil isn't an identity. It switches constantly. That's why as soon as you think it's this
Remember
one
Agent
group.
Remember Smith, like, that's a great analogy, jumps into whoever he wants in the Matrix?
Exactly. And that's how a wizard works. You supercharge like science, what we just talked about. So science starts getting credibility, and then the science becomes like the COVID rollout. And the same thing is with the Jews. I bet they jumped into the Jews because they were known for being like really literate, or they were like pretty stable for like holding on to someone's gold 1,000 years ago. You know, there was something where they jumped into that group to then pace it, mimic it, and run it off a cliff. And that's how evil actually works. And as soon as you think it's the Quakers or the Portuguese or whatever, it's always that's
yeah,
why in
these
the Bible,
empires all come and go. Then they get
they come and go. It's like the. You know, before the Rothschilds, it was the Habsburgs, and they were so incested that their jaws got insane. And this idea, that's why the Bible talks about you know them by their fruit, and also the love of money is the root of all evil. Like,
well,
you
the
just
Rothschilds, they didn't even
thing.
Want to be Jewish anymore when they crashed the British economy at the Battle of Waterloo, saying that the British had lost the war. People looked that up. It's incredible history. They got breeding rights to breed into the British family. And they wanted to breed in to the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, a Transylvanian German inbred line of lunatics, the madness of King George III, literally. That was the ultimate goal, was to be British lords and breed into inbreds when they're already inbred themselves.
Yeah. And they're never happy. As soon as they get to do that, they just want the next thing, and that emptiness does end up consuming them.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. You're going to take over 30 minutes. You got NASA stuff to cover. They got the clips for you. Owen Benjamin, thank you so much for going to break. We'll talk to you soon. You got to come back soon.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
You bet. Stay there. You're hosting when we come up. Want you to be able to run on yourself without me interrupting every 5 seconds. Just briefly, I'm not funded by Israel, Qatar, or the Easter Bunny. I'm funded by you selling T-shirts, books, knives, really good supplements. I mean, if you don't get our Bethlehem Blue, you are insane. And they've got a deal, because I don't own the Alex Jones store. I push a lot of the stuff. It's not what they sell. But I haven't called them yet, but I'm like, what is this? They're selling methylene blue, the very best out there, for $16.79. I happen to know what it costs. See, this is medical grade. Think about the non-medical grade for like $5 a bottle. They buy medical grade out of Florida. It costs $16 and change. It's $16.79, folks. I mean, I'm going to call them up and say, we got to make some money. You can have this big number, but we don't get any money. The lights go out. But their argument, they got great marketers, is they're going to love it so much, they're going to buy everything else. Now, you got to be a subscriber, but that's no commitment because you can cancel any time. So you subscribe. Each month you get it at cost in perpetuity until you cancel. One click on your profile. That is cuckoo town good. And there's a bunch of other really great products on the site. Huge sale right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. That funds our operation. I need your support with InfoWars about to shut down. I haven't announced what's going to happen or what's going on. We know now. We know the shutdown date. We've survived so much, but this is it. And it's such a big deal. I just look at the edge of a cliff, not in a bad way. I'm going to try to announce it tomorrow. Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it and you like it and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors, because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research.
and then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now, please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Hello, everybody. What's going down? I am guest hosting now for the next 30 minutes, apparently, from the beautiful state of Idaho. In the northern section, it's the Panhandle. We are near Canada, near Montana, Washington, Oregon, all kinds of areas. We have elk and duck and fish and whatnot. And I figured I'd let you guys call in if you want to. I'm taking calls on the Alex Jones. Is that a train? We have a train go by. I'm like kind of a racial, somewhat anti-Semitic Mr. Rogers. Train! You hear that? That's Mr. Rogers' train, and I'm Mr. Rogers. 877-789-2539 if anybody wants to call in, talk to me about anything. That train is bringing me, Mr. Rogers would always get like a fun banana treat. I remember one time some little kid brought him like a banana sandwich made out of peanut butter and something. And he was like, "This looks so good. I'm going to save it for later." And I know he threw it away. And I wasn't mad at him, but I was like, Hey, man, you could have at least tried the sandwich.
You hear that train?
I'm just because I'm a guest on someone else's show, I'm not going to reference a World War II incident when referring to a train, even though it could be funny. And I hope you guys call in so that we can talk about any random thing. And don't forget to order my book, How to Slay a Wizard, on Amazon. If you enjoyed the first part of this conversation, it's a great time to learn about spellcraft and wizards and all that stuff. And subscribe to ladle.tv. It's $9.11 a month. And the reason I chose that is because everyone has bills. People have bills. And whenever you see a bill, you usually get pretty bummed out. You're like, oh, not a bill. But when you see $9.11 on your monthly bill, you smile and you laugh, and you can say to yourself, never forget. And it's funny. It's genuinely funny. And I just thought it would be kind of fun to flip that experience into something fun. And it also has everything I've ever done, like every appearance, every podcast, every hour special. And I made it out of necessity because I frankly was not allowed other places because people like flatterers, as we talked about earlier in the conversation, that Donald Trump right now has King Lear disease and he ends up going blind. It's a really powerful play. I highly recommend people check it out. The Ben Shapiro sister, the Dave Levin, Larry Loomer, like all these freaks, they just slather and butter up and praise the king. And what does is it allows the king to not have their trauma triggered because of, New York's district courts that have just been kind of trying to terrorize them for a long time. Because kings have a very terrifying job. Say what you will about the Sun King Louis XIV, but unless you've seen a peasant revolt back in the day when people would hack each other into pieces, you really can't judge. And so the narcissism is actually like a soothing agent. It's almost like Novocaine for the soul. There was a song by the Eels called Novocaine for the Soul where you kind of hit your max where you don't want to feel any of that anymore. You don't want the fear, the pain, the doubt, the self-doubt, the regret. And so you switch it off and you just turn on like everything I do is great no matter what. And that's a coping mechanism. And it's actually extremely dangerous because it's like that disease where you can't feel physical pain is one of the most dangerous diseases you can have. It sounds great, you fall down, you break your arm, you don't feel any pain, but you don't know when you're injured. And when you're in that position, your injuries just get worse and worse and worse until until you lose the Strait of Hormuz. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So do we have any callers? I don't know if we have callers or not. Scony, talk to me.
It's Scony, which is slang for a cheesehead Wisconsinite. And we recently moved kind of like you did. And I will open a new X account to talk to you about farming and greenhouses and all the like. But what I really wanted to talk about was cancel culture and using humor, such as you do, and also Gavin McInnes and J.P. Sears and even Hecklefish, that people get annoyed with the orange Hecklefish and Y-Files. Well, that's how you get your video as a parody not taken down, hopefully. And I remember when they were going after you like crazy. And what I admire is you mentally rope-a-dope people. And someone gave me crap about using the term rope-a-dope. Come on, that's Cassius Clay. Muhammad Ali said that first. But you're mentally doing it, and I appreciate your use of humor and very well word-crafted etymology. And I look forward to purchasing your book. And great. I wanted to actually just ask you, I know you when you were going through some rough times, my brother said, I don't know what's up with Owen, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, he's getting pummeled from all sides. And it's like when Gavin McInnes did How to Fight a Baby. Oh, my God. It was hilarious. Something about Virgin on some video. And How to Be a Man. That's right. And Awaken with JP. And hilarious stuff. You know,
it's so funny you bring up JP because JP's really turned up. He's really escalated in a lot of really cool ways. I showed him love on Twitter because what happened to him is what kind of like what happened to me, where he did a joke, kind of like the rope-a-dope thing you were just referring to. And the people with that narcissistic wizard disease that me and Alex were talking about, they get furious when you make fun of them. And so, you know, Erica Kirk, in my opinion, is in that position. And so when they came at him, you have two options. You either completely fold or you just keep going. And he kept going. And that's always what I wanted to see out of these comedians. And so thanks for the love, my friend. And I hope you really enjoy the book. And my mom is from Wisconsin. It's a great place. And thanks for calling in. I got to get to a couple more callers, but you sound like a funny dude. What up, Steven? Talk to me.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for the both of you and also a comment, or rather, I suppose it's a lead specifically for Alex. So just with regard to the comment briefly, Alex, I know back in 24 and 25, you were talking a lot about the FBI in New York sort of being the locus for where this Epstein cover-up was really being run out of. And so I just wanted to let you know that there's a DOJ file that I mentioned in the Epstein files, which contains an internal FBI email from some people in the counterintelligence unit. They're in New York discussing how to handle the problem at Harvard and MIT. So I just want to give you that file number so that you and your staff can be aware of it. Congressman Massey has the file as well. The number is EFTA00038124. And again, that's an important file because the DOJ redacted the names of the FBI agents. So if we can get those names redacted, we'd be able to figure out who in the FBI in New York was covering that up. My question is, given the fact that Bondi got fired last week and was supposed to testify on the 14th, is just backed out. Bill Gates has been subpoenaed as well. So it seems like there's a lot of movement going on with this Epstein scandal. So, you know, Owen, I would just be interested in hearing your view about what's going on with this scandal, because it just doesn't seem to go away, and it's not really behaving according to the way a lot of these PSYOPs ordinarily do.
Yeah. I mean, the PSYOP in this, there's PSYOPs in this all over the place, but it's a real thing. And something of this scale that gets revealed, because that's what we were talking about earlier, wizardry always ends at some point. Like that something for nothing, abracadabra, you know, fiat, I create as I talk, that borrowing of credibility, the manipulation of emotion, that will always run out. And eventually the piper gets paid. And so what we're witnessing with this Epstein situation is such a massive thing that they couldn't stop it. You know, it has that feeling of a revelatory situation. And so all the PSYOPs we're witnessing, kind of like Trump being like, oh, you're still talking about that loser? What are you, stupid? Like, that's the PSYOP. That's the manipulation. And so I don't know where it's going. I don't know which elements are absolute facts and which are lies. I'm not behind that curtain. But from what I'm witnessing, we're just seeing a lot of, you know, bending and twisting around these black hole centers of narcissistic King Lear personalities. And that's why I always just recommend people stay focused on what they can control, what they love, their local environment. And that isn't running away. That isn't idealistic. It's a survival mechanism. And I think that, you know, even just planting a small amount of just having a small garden, it will give you that feeling of empowerment and that connection to the actual divine that will help you get through anything.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you. It just doesn't really have the feel of something that they're scripting. It doesn't seem to be pure theater.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it feels like improv, because in comedy, when you're doing improv, it's called yes and, where if you said something, the other person has to go with it no matter what. It's like you're reacting. It's not like some of these things in the past, you'd see these well thought out scripts where this is this character and this is blah, blah, blah. This feels very reactive. And I think that what we're witnessing is just almost like a satanic improv group, you know?
The thing that's so striking to me is that typically, as you know, they seem to enjoy it, like they're mocking us, but it doesn't seem to me that they're deriving any kind of enjoyment at all from this. They seem to be miserable.
Yeah, it's almost like they're the ones being mocked this round. There's a hierarchy of mockery, and eventually it is the sellouts that get the most mockery. And I think you're right on the money. And thanks for giving Alex that information. He's not here right now, but if he were, he'd go, thank you. That's very, very important information. Appreciate it. All right, so I'll get to the next fellow is named James. Hello, James. What's going down?
Yes, hello. How are you? I'll make it kind of brief, but I just wanted to point out something very quickly for an idea for Alex, if you could pass it on. On the side of the hat, okay, on the side of the hat, he should have the American flag, and on the other side of the hat, he should have the Betsy Ross flag in order to commemorate our 250th Republican anniversary of the United States of America. One side, the small American patch on the side of the hat, and on the other side, the Betsy Ross flag for 1776. I just wanted to point that out, and I'll get to my point. Thank you for having me on your show. The thing is, Petraeus, about 15 years ago, was something to do with the army. He was a general in Afghanistan or some, But nonetheless, his name always struck me funny. He replaced another general.
Petraeus.
And then his name was Petraeus. He's going to lead us into victory and all this type of stuff. And what's his name? His name is Petraeus.
It's so true. I love that. Well done.
You're welcome. But pass that on to Alex about the hat.
I will. Yeah, I like that idea about the hat.
Yeah, because to commemorate, one would be the Betsy Ross and the other one would be the United States of America now to commemorate our Republican anniversary of 250 years. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I love that. I love that putting that timeline in context. Like, that's quite a feat. Thank you, James. Next up, we have Michael. What up, Michael?
Hey, Owen. How we doing today, brother?
Good, brother. How are you, man?
Good, man. Out in the woods hunting mushrooms, hunting some morel mushrooms in Ohio. And I was listening to the show. Yeah, I was listening to the show. You guys got them out there in Idaho?
Yes. I have a friend that helps me find morels. But like as far as mushrooms go, like the one that looks kind of like it, but is poisonous freaks me out so much that I have to get a lot better at it before I do it myself.
False.
Really?
Yeah. They won't kill you, but no, there's a lot of good mushrooms in Ohio, but I was listening to the show while I'm out here walking, and I just got to say, you know, I believe in wizard magic. You're 100% on with that, but I feel like Trump's been in on this from the get-go. I feel like the attacks were planned. I feel like everything was staged. It's nothing but a WWE show to get us all enticed and behind a candidate. And it's like I told Harrison the other night, they build us up. They get all this hopium built up, and then they just pull the rug right out from under our feet, trying like crazy to get civil war in this country, whether they get it from the left or they get it from the right. And I feel like we got to start a new plan. This whole Democrat Republican party is corrupted from the top down. Even in Ohio, I mean, like our local chairmans and stuff it's a good old boys club. You know, we need to flood this system with independent candidates, and we need alternative media to get behind an independent candidate to where they stand a chance. I mean, we've seen what RFK did under the independent ticket. Trump was so scared that he was going to lose, he had to pull him into his administration.
Well, you got it right there. I mean, that's how you actually do change is you have to get people excited about something. Like what you're doing with mushrooms right now, it might sound crazy, but that's actually the way to do it. So to get these like kind of more scripted WWE type people to see you as, I wouldn't say a threat, more like competition, something that they have to deal with. It's all about productivity and not needing anything from them. Because when you need something from them and you're committed to their script, they don't have to think about you. The greasy wheel does get, the most attention. And as far as the everyone being in on it, I wrestle with this all the time because I always wonder how much of it is consciously aware or are people like going with these scripts without even thinking about it. And I've been trying to figure that out for so many years. And because you're right, it looks like this vacuum cleaner of attention and loosh and just like these scripts to get us hooked. But like, on what level? And then you get into the spiritual realm and it's like, how many people are just kind of like just going along with whatever character they've been assigned, or are they fully aware of it? I don't know, man, but I think that you bring up some good points.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, of course, man. And enjoy those mushrooms. There's nothing better than those real fresh mushrooms. They're incredible. All right, later, Michael. All right, next up, we got Ryan. Ryan, what's up? You're live with a stand-in for Alex Jones.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. What's up, bro?
Oh, cool. How's it going, Owen? Yeah, I'm out here in Oregon. Great. So, yeah.
Nice.
We're a beautiful day. So, yeah, I was going to talk to you, I guess, a little bit about wizardry, and it just, to an extent, maybe even touch on it in your book. It's kind of just like a hijacking of our own consciousness and an inversion of our consciousness to where it doesn't work unless we believe it works.
Exactly.
So, yeah, in there's one book I think is pretty interesting. It's called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot, and it just touches on essentially how we're all one thing that's connected. I'm trying to relate this into the rest of the topic. Maybe I'll be able to bring it back around. But yeah, it's all these ideas of spirituality, and as you were saying earlier about like a frequency thing. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm spacing out a little bit, man.
No. I'm on board because I think that's how synchronicities can work when you're like. When you're operating at a similar frequency as someone else, things will just kind of like spontaneously happen to both of you in ways that I don't have any other explanation except for just the concept of frequency.
Yeah, stream of consciousness and authenticity, as you were saying about where people will read you in a room when you're doing stand up. It's authenticity and being honest with yourself and not just accepting something that's presented as a fact, but you don't know it for yourself through true science, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, authenticity is where it's at, because that's all we can do. We don't have perfect knowledge. So it's like, that's why I always say I might be wrong, but I'm not lying, because I'm not holding myself to the standard that I always have to be right, because that's not possible. So I'm just like, whatever I actually am, I try to stay coherent. Like, what I say, what I do, and what I think is all in line. And when you do that, like, you actually connect with other people, versus when you're trying to do that wizard manipulation, there's like a cut. It's like a break. And like in an electrical circuit, it would stop working at that point. And so, yeah, I went through the school hard knocks with that, with stand-up comedy. And oddly, it also is like the father with young kids, where if you're just kind of flowing with them, you just, I don't know, it just, everything works. But if you overthink it and you're always just, because they're like little kids, they're just pure flow state, it doesn't work as well than when you're just totally yourself, you know? And so I think that whole realm is, we're going to learn more about it in the future, because I think that the lies aren't working like they used to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important for people to not be so jaded. And I think that's why trauma is such a tool, because it makes you second guess yourself and your own intuition.
Totally. Yeah. And it's like the jaded, like the physical element of that would be a callus. So like a physical trauma makes it so you don't feel as much. And the emotional stuff is the same way. But it's still a choice. It's like if you choose not to be afraid of it or if you choose forgiveness. And I think that's the real Christian message is allowing forgiveness. You don't have to have that callus develop, you know, and you can just stay in the flow.
Absolutely. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And that's what I was going along with the idea of frequencies. And so negative entities can't exist inside of when we're producing love and forgiveness.
Absolutely, my friend. It's great talking to you. Have fun in Oregon. We have JT Run Boston Bear. You're on the air. What is going on?
Hey, Owen. Good to talk to you, man. I just wanted to personally thank you for writing How to Slay a Wizard. I want to get the leather-bound version soon. Wanted to say hey to Cod and the Bears, and then just mention, with all the deceptions, it's like nowadays, right now, more people are waking up than ever, and there's less fear, and it's like the trolls don't have as much effect in the comments. It's just like, yeah, right, totally. You're just a troll. And it's just amazing what you're doing, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man, and that's 100%. I see that more and more. It's like what me and Alex were just talking about. I used to feel a lot more threatened by people lying about me. Like, I'd feel like I had to correct it. And now I see that people can see it. They're just like, oh, you're just a liar. Because, like, that's what happens in low-trust societies, where the mechanism of lying starts percolating so that it doesn't work like it used to. And then you start getting high-trust cultures emerging from that, except now we have a lot more knowledge about how it all works, so we won't be as tricked in the future, you know? And I'm extremely optimistic about the future. I just know that sometimes I have to talk about the horrors because that's happening for a lot of people as well, and I don't want to sound too idealistic, you know?
No, absolutely. And, you know, there's some high-end people waking up, like Stephen A. Young. He has a master's in physics and a PhD in nuclear theoretical physics, and he woke up to the Earth not being a spinning, wobbling globe going around the sun, has a great YouTube channel, and just people in the medical world, just all worlds, people are waking up at the same time and connecting. And so just ignoring the trolls, don't give them your energy, don't get sucked into the chat, talk to people in real life, and I hope to make it to the festival and meet you, brother.
Amen, my friend. I'd love to meet you too. Yeah, that's going to be a Columbus weekend in the great state of Missouri, and we'll have a great time. Yeah, something really special happens at those bear fests. It's like when you're around a lot of authentic people, you just feel it. All right, anyway, I think this is when I'm landing the plane. Great to talk to all you guys. I really enjoyed that a lot. Sounds like you're all crushing today. Ladle.tv, subscribe. It helps independent comedy and thought. You can also get How to Slay a Wizard wherever you get your books, like Amazon and Barnes & Noble. OwenBenjamin.com. It's been a pleasure. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Be fruitful and multiply.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America is 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now, thealexhillstore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about.
This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. We've taken the InfoWar this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over body thing, DollarShowStore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.